This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Scotland Outdoors Podcast from BBC Radio Scotland.
Hello and thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Mark Stephen. With me today, back from his sailing trip off the west coast of Scotland, Mr. Ewan McElraith. In this edition, we're going to be taking a sound journey. Our guest today is umpteen things, a field recordist, a bassist, a sound engineer, and, as he describes himself, and I may nick this, sonic explorer. He's based in the north of England. Welcome, David Delahaye.
Hello from Durham.
You got in touch with us to tell us about some of the work you've been doing with marine conservation and sound, and on paper it sounded fabulous. It's been even better when we've actually got to hear it. Before we actually get to that, tell us about where you are just now, what you do for a day job.
I work as a musician, but I also work as a music technician at Newcastle University, where I support various creative projects and work in the recording studios there, supporting student projects and the likes.
We've got some fantastic recordings that you've sent us. I mean, it is wonderful, wonderful stuff. But before we throw ourselves into that, I'm just fascinated what you studied as a Master of Music in glitch music and the aesthetics of failure in digital composition. I've no idea what that is, but I really wish I'd studied it.
I've always enjoyed just working and playing with sound. The Glitch Masters actually followed on from a degree at Leeds College of Music studying jazz and contemporary music. And it was when I was enrolled there that I was introduced to electroacoustic music, a more contemporary use of sound as texture and a palette, and rather than thinking so much about modality and melodies and things. Electroacoustic stuff kind of led me into digital forms of composition, so that's what I studied at Newcastle. And it was about using particularly malfunctioning CDs or malfunctioning digital technology, so maybe hardware hacking, tearing apart children's toys and rewiring them, anything that was basically misusing a technology.
And how about the aesthetics of failure?
Yeah, well, I was sort of looking at what it means to complete a work and feel that it's finished, and what we perceive as something that's as beautiful, really. You know, when a CD's skipping, when it comes on, if you listen, when we used to listen to CDs, and that would become an irritation, but it was about trying to change the way we reacted to that by creating something that was aesthetically beautiful. That was what I tried to achieve. I came up with this idea that we could use resources in the marine engineering department and some of the creative practice that I was working with in my department, the School of Arts and Cultures, to marry them together and explore approaches to marine conservation from an arts perspective, I guess. I chose the Hebridean Whale and Dolphin Trust because they particularly conduct acoustic surveys, which is what I was kind of interested in. I went up to the Hebrides. The Trust conduct citizen science surveys around the Hebrides. So I went on a 10-day trip, which was amazing. And I'd recommend anyone, to, if you can, get on one to go. We set off from Carle of Lough Ouse, and we went up past North Uist all the way out to the Monarch Isles, which was incredible. And then back down to Barra and Mingley, and then back up the Minch, back up to Skye. And the whole trip, as well as trying to tap into some of their acoustic research, I was recording my own sounds as well.
You're from Jersey originally. Has that influenced your thoughts on the environment, the needs to protect it, and the kind of very different ways of bringing an audio feast to the ears of people who probably haven't heard that sound before?
Yeah, I grew up on, you know, on an island, and I guess I kind of assumed that coasts were special to everyone. I hadn't realised until I was talking to some bandmates quite a few years ago, and some of them weren't really fussed about coastal areas. You know, they were more interested in moorland and things. And I guess I hadn't realised that sense of being an islander and being around the coast really is important to me. I guess what I find exciting about it is you're just not aware of all these indescribable little things going on just, you know, inches away from where you're stood on deck. One of my favourite things is sharing the headphones, especially with my cabin mate. Bless him. I think I drove him mad, really, on the trip, because in the middle of the night I'd be there fumbling around with cables and put my headphones on and running cables up through the hatch and off the side of the vessel. And he never complained once, which was lovely. But I did, in return, let him listen on the headphones. And some of the underwater seal sounds especially, he was blown away with. So, you know, that kind of experience that people can get from quite a simple operation of just, you know, putting some headphones in the water, it's really special to me.
Not all of the sounds here are from under the water. When you were out with the Hebridean Whale Dolphin Trust, you went up to the island of Mingley and you captured this next set of sounds. Now, set the scene for us here. What is this?
I just remember very vividly a Silurian, the vessel, edged around the corner of this bay. Suddenly we heard the howling of seals. We were there late in autumn, late September, so it's a kind of pupping season for the seals there. So there's these harems of grey seals all on the beach. We anchored in the middle of that bay, and this howling was persistent through the entire night. I've got hours and hours of this style of recording. I loved it.
Weeks ago, I anchored in a really narrow islet on the north side of Muck, the island of Muck, which is a really tricky entrance. And we got there, we dropped it down, dropped the anchor down, and it was about 120 seals within 5-6 metres of us. And as you say, that sound you captured goes on forever. You think, what is that about? What's going on? And yeah, you've captured it in a very different perspective, because you also got it from under the water, of which I am really envious. Talk me through this sound.
Some of these underwater sounds are from Mingley, but some were, I think, from the Monarch Isles as well. This was one of my favourite experiences, was just being on deck. You could see the seals around you, but, you know, obviously, again, we can't really hear what's going on under the water because we're not adapted for that. So by using the hydrophones just to listen and have them in stereo as well, gave a really real good sense of seals swimming around your head as well, I feel. But the range of vocalizations and sounds that I've heard underneath the water, which it was just amazing. It was like being part of this hidden conversation. It felt more like they were actually speaking to me in a weird way. I passed these headphones around to let other people listen, and I don't think any of us was that aware that there was so much activity going on, because we could hear the howling above the water of the seals on the beach, and so we're in awe just at that, but hadn't realised that this whole other conversation going on underneath. It was amazing.
This next sound was one of those where you weren't entirely certain what it was at the time, and I can't say I blame you. It turned out to be something really rarely captured. Seals clapping. I didn't even know that seals did clap.
No, not at all. Apart from, you know, your film Walrus in a show or something. There was a full moon. I was lying down listening before going to bed, just, you know, after deploying the hydrophones. I was just listening to all these grunts and squeals and all the things that I was kind of had become used to. But then all of a sudden hearing these kind of gunshot-like sounds. I was really confused, though, because they were really quite loud. And I heard a few more. And then I had to go up on deck. I thought something might have been going on. I went up on deck and took a look around, and the moon was shining and the seals were still howling on the top, but I couldn't hear any claps or anything like this. So I went back down, put the headphones on, and they were still going on underneath the water. And I had no idea at all what these were. About 3 weeks after I got back to Newcastle, there was a published article from Newcastle University, just coincidentally because I happened to work there, from Dr. Ben Burville, who was known as the seal diver. He does a lot of diving activities with seals, especially around the Farne Isles. And he had filmed grey seals clapping underwater. So this is a video that's taken him apparently 17 years to capture. It was always thought to be a vocalisation. To have this activity recorded on camera really confirmed that it was an actual clap. And I was just amazed because I made that connection. I've got loads of these clapping sounds. I presume it's territorial activity, especially as we're there in kind of pupping season and stuff. So I can tell you that I was over the moon to be able to capture those sounds.
But it does emphasise how little we know about what goes on underneath the water. We're continually finding more and more and more. Moving away from the seals now, down to shrimps. And you've got an amazing recording up by Loch Torridon.
There's so much going on just beneath the surface, but we're unaware of it. And we have a massive impact on it through all of our activities on and around the water. The more we can reveal through research and through sonic practice as well, what activities that are going on underwater, the more we can nurture it and just be more conscious and aware of that. So, yeah, there's the snapping shrimp. I'm really happy with this recording. There's a lot of sound recordings of snapping shrimp, and that's because they're incredibly common. You find them all over the world. I'd say they're probably just as common as ants are on the surface. There's just shrimp. Someone's going to call me up on that. But apparently there are snapping shrimp in every sea around the world. And yet, when you play a recording like this to people, often they've no idea what it is.
It almost sounds like a fire or something of the kind. It's like somebody hitting two very dry sticks together.
It's like popcorn or that snapping, the poppy stuff, that poppy stuff you get on your tongue. That when you're a kid, those sweets, I don't know what they're called. There's a few little fizzles in there as well, which I have no idea what they are. I think they might be bioluminescence. There was some stuff going on in the waters when I was watching.
For those of us of a certain age who remember, you know, they call him Flipper, Flipper, Flipper. We were just talking about this the other day on the live programme we do out of doors. And the voice of Flipper in the old television children's series was actually somebody had been messing about with the sound of a kookaburra. It was nothing to do with dolphins at all, but dolphins do make fantastic noises, etc. You've got some beautiful recordings of dolphins. Give us the background to this recording.
This one's not from the Hebrides. This one's from the North Sea. I've been working with some marine engineers at Newcastle. This is from an underwater marine communication technology that they've been developing. The point of the technology is to attach these trackers to fishing nets so that if trawlers drop them or lose them, it's easy to find them again rather than leave them rustling around in the ocean. Seems like a great idea. The devices they use are an acoustic communication device. I had a chat with them about, is there any way of getting sounds from these acoustic devices? And it turned out they just deployed an acoustic data buoy in the North Sea, just off the coast of Blyth, about 3 miles out from Blyth. It's a fixed buoy that has a hydrophone attached, and it sends that hydrophone feed to a point on shore. And you could actually, for a while, you could listen to a live stream that was going out on YouTube, which was great, and especially when lockdown started, there was a lot, you know, it was just seeing what was changing, as was reported a lot around the news. But being able to listen live from just up the coast was an incredible opportunity. Unfortunately, the feed is currently down, technical issues, and they've not been able to get out to fix them yet. But yeah, fantastic piece of kit. So I was very lucky to get some of these recordings from that data buoy.
You've actually slowed down that recording so we can hear the whistles more clearly.
Again, it's a bit like dealing with bats. you kind of have to kind of doctor the sounds and that in order to make it audible. Although, you know, one of the great regrets of my life is when I was a teenager, I could hear bats hunting. And obviously, as you get older, that disappears. Let's stick in the East Coast. St. Abb's Head in Berwickshire is a really, really popular location for divers. There's one particular location, I think, is a headland sticks out and you can dive in one side of the headland, swim underneath it and come out the other side. Not that I would either be brave enough or stupid enough to do it. What was it attracted you to this place?
I've got a camper van. So you pay £10 a night and you can stay in what I consider to be one of the best locations around. What a view to wake up to. You open your curtains and you're just right there on the beachfront. And I do love that place. I made this not that long ago. It's a collection of recordings just from St. Abb's Head area, with kittiwakes around on the cliffs at the time. I just really enjoy listening to the sound of the water. There's loads of different textures and different sized spaces around there that I really enjoyed getting in and capturing.
Is this just sound for sound's sake? Have you got a message here? Something you're trying to communicate?
Part of the thing for me is I really enjoy the process of recording. Sometimes it's very easy to go out there, set everything up and literally just forget to hit record because you're so content in listening. And that focused listening I find just really relaxing. There's quite a lot of research around this things called blue spaces and green spaces, this kind of feel that we become more relaxed and that the physiological effect of being in those environments can have on us is really beneficial. But at the same time, I think that if we can all learn to listen more carefully to what's going on around us, that it provides a way in to looking after the world as a whole. The pandemic really kind of heightened that experience. I think when everyone just realised they had so many beautiful sounds just on their doorstep and really enjoyed that silence. And I was out just on my street, but just recording every day and finding new ways of capturing that ambience.
And this next recording you've got about frogs in your garden pond, I do it every spring. I run a microphone out beside the pond. And my neighbours were actually going to phone an ambulance earlier on in the spring because I had a long cable and I was listening on my headphones and I was there for about 20 minutes, half an hour. And they thought there was a bit of a problem because I'm lying on the grass. It's a world that I just feel, you know, the likes of what you're doing, it opens up a whole vista for folk. It's an exciting world that should be embraced.
When I go to those ponds, I'm usually with my son, the great advantage of hide frame recording is you're recording under the water, so you don't need to worry so much about what's going on above the surface, which is great when you've got small children because they make a lot of noise. I just remember sat on the little kind of platform beside one of the ponds, and we were sharing earbuds. We were listening to, I think there was some swans feeding. He's only two, and he kept putting his earbud in and out of his ear, just listening. And the look of concentration on his face and the quizzical look and curious at the same time about all these unusual sounds. That's how I feel inside when I'm recording like that. I get really excited and passionate about that. I think sound, when we're listening as well, it kind of forces us to dedicate time, which is very precious to us all. It's a special way of spending time with my son. That's why I wanted to include this recording, because it demonstrates what's available just on our doorstep, really. We don't need to go to some uninhabited island in the middle of the sea. There are these incredible sounds just in our gardens and in local ponds.
David, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us and for sharing, a really remarkable collection of sounds. You can find out more about David at his website, David Delahaye, all one word, that's haye.co.uk. And if you're interested in getting hold of some of his compositions, look him up on Bandcamp. Get in touch with us and tell us where you listen to this podcast, or if you have any ideas for people we should speak to, even if that person is you. Email outofdoors@bbc.co.uk. From myself, Mark Stephen, Ewan McElraith, producer Helen Needham, and sound artist, I would say, David Delahaye, thanks for listening.
The piece is called From Sea to Sky. Everything you hear is recorded. There's no synthesis or anything like this. There's a small amount of manipulation, sonic manipulation, but most of it is just recordings from under the water. Lots of snapping shrimp recordings and seals. There's lots of sonic artifacts from the boat itself. There are dolphins in there as well. I hoped that there were some whales in there, but I don't think there are. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.